Welcome to the Atom Ventures podcast. My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the managing director of Atom Ventures and Atom CTO. And today I'm here with Candice Wren from 173 Tech. Say hello, Candice.
Hello, Bhairav. Hello, everyone. Lovely to be here.
So, Candice, you are all about data. And today we're going to do a kind of a little five-question masterclass about data, data analytics, and how business owners, startup founders should be using data and thinking about data within their organization. But before we get onto that, can you tell people about your background and your pedigree? Why you're such an expert?
Absolutely. So I'm the co-founder of 173 Tech. We are a modern analytics agency. So what we do is to help startups harness the power of their own data. So that translates into building efficient data pipelines quickly and cost effectively, making data easy to use, easy to democratize for the whole team, and creating sophisticated machine learning algorithms on top of that. And prior to 173 Tech, I spent 5 years leading the analytics effort at a dating group called Bumble. So there I built the function from scratch and into a, probably I would say, a pioneer of data-led culture and big data technologies in tech. We oversaw about a dozen dating apps, and one of them, Bumble, I guess that's the most well-known. You grew from a MVP to $3 billion exit in 5 years.
So you know a lot about dating and obviously a lot about data.
Yeah, I like to think so.
Okay, so what we're trying to do with this podcast is put people in the mindset of, if you're a founder, you're a startup founder, you're a small business owner, put them in the mindset of understanding data and what it can do for the business and how they should really use it. So the first question to you is that if I am a startup founder or small business owner, do I need a data strategy? And if I do, how do I go about getting one?
Data strategy, it is a very big word and it can be a bit intimidating. I like to think of it more as knowing your customer and your business in the structure kind of way. And absolutely everyone should have one. It's like you need to know what's going on in the business. And typically how you would start with is start with your business goal. So you think about where you want to get to. So that could be, say, 1 million run rate by the end of the year. And what you want to do next is map that back into your unit economics. So if you're an e-commerce company, that's the number of orders, for example. If you're a freemium model, number of subscriptions. And from there on, you want to start thinking about the contributing factors that will help you get there. So, you know, you start thinking about how many new users you need to acquire, you know, what the retention rate you need to achieve, repeat purchases rate if you're e-commerce, and the average order size, and et cetera. And from there on, then you want to, you know, put all these measurable components into what we like to call a data dictionary. So you want to standardize all the metrics you will be tracking. And it will also help you create a common data language within your company. So I guess that's a good starting point.
So this is interesting because I think a lot of times when people think about data, they are thinking of the blue sky AI trying to do something really, really very fancy, putting machine learning on everything. And actually what you're saying is when you want to look at a data strategy within your organization, look at what you're trying to achieve and figure out the key indicators of whether you're getting there or not and use that as your basis. Would that be right?
Absolutely. I get it. Like lots of people, you know, the first thing they come to us and ask, how do I build a machine learning algorithm or what data science model should I have? We really need to take a step back. You know, you need to serve a business purpose, and that is your goal. And if you don't have the basics right, you will never get there. You can talk about data science, but later.
So one of the things that you mentioned there, which I find very interesting and I agree with 100%, is the common data dictionary, right? The common data language. And one of the things I find that when we're working as CTOs and coming into business is that they don't have that, right? People will be talking interchangeably around products, items. They'll be talking about, you know, the same word, sorry, different words will be used to describe the same thing. And that causes a lot of confusion. And especially, so why is it important to have that common data dictionary reference?
Absolutely, precisely for the reason you just mentioned. You know, inconsistency is a big issue. So inconsistency can be translated into different problems. For example, you will set different goals for different teams. So marketing might be looking at active user in certain ways and product will be measuring in a different way. And when you start looking at growth, you have a mismatch on your numbers. So it's absolutely crucial. It is a very trivial point, but it's actually the most important thing of your data strategy. And if you ask, you know, different people in the company what revenue means, you will have probably more than five different answers. I guarantee you that.
Okay, so let's say I'm a business now and I've taken your advice. I've gone in and I said, okay, I want to earn an extra £100,000, or I want to turn over £500,000 a year or whatever it is. And I'm thinking about how I can achieve that. So now I've got the data points or the understanding of what I want to measure. How do I start implementing a data strategy? What do I need? Do I need lots of people? Do I need to hire a huge team of developers, or what do I need to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So team aside, so we have this principle, a five-step principle called the scale. So it's a stepped process. So we actually just talked about the first step, which is standardize your metric. So that's the S. And then you move into your tool stack. So next step, you want to centralize all your different data sources. And that, you know, you want to evaluate different tools. And in terms of tools, we have, you know, a range of different things you need to think about. And you want to think about what works for your current need and your future growth needs. One of the mistakes we tend to see is company thinking just today, you know, what is easy and cost effective today, but, you know, in 6 months time, they have to strip it out and completely redo it again. So having a future proof tool stack is very important. And then the next step, you know, we talk about, you know, automation. So, you know, different data sources, what you want to do is automate the extraction, and you want to model that based on your data dictionary that we talked about before. So translating the business logic into data models. And this is very important for to enable self-servicing later for your whole team, and to enable deep dive analytics and machine learning algorithms later on.
Okay, so let's dive a little bit into that, because I think if you're a slightly non-technical founder, you may not be aware of some of the things that you've mentioned there, right? So let's talk about the tech stack, the tools stack. What do you mean by tools, right? What is it that I'm using in order to either extract the data or interrogate the data?
So in terms of data, what you want to do first is having a central location. So everything, one place, single source of truth. So that usually is a data warehouse. So if we think of that as the center of everything we do, so that's the first tool. So you want to make sure you find the right one, cost effective, and also really easy to scale later. And from the data warehouse, you will have things surrounding it, let's say. So that the first one will be the data extraction part. So moving the data from different sources into your data warehouse, that's your first tool. And afterwards, you need to model your data. So, you know, data come in, you don't want to query directly on your raw data. That's one of the problems we see a lot. So typically you have, you know, very messy Excel sheets or very messy SQL statements or hundreds of lines, everybody writing slightly differently. So what you want to do second is model your data on top. So that's a different tool there. And then in terms of visualization, our recommendations always go with industry standard tools. So there are open source options, there are paid options, but go with a BI tool that's easy for self-servicing.
Okay, so again, just to break this down a little bit more, so what you're saying is, if I'm a company that wants to understand my data a little bit more, I need to firstly make sure it's all in one place. So when you say data warehouse, that's essentially a place that collates all the different information you've got in your business. Because I think a lot of businesses are going to sit back and say, well, hang on, my data's in emails, it's in spreadsheets, it's in the accounting system, it's in the CRM system that we're using, and it may also be in whatever service or platform app that we're using to get the data. So it sounds very difficult to bring all of that into one place. Is it?
It's actually a lot easier than you think, to be honest. The difficult part is always at the beginning, getting things started. So as soon as you automated one source, you will find you have everything in place. So you have the one source coming in, you have the base model, let's say. So your first source is typically the most important one. So typically your revenue source. So your e-commerce again, you know, that's your Shopify data, for example. If you are, you know, a app business, your backend database. So as soon as you integrated your first source, it becomes a lot easier. So you have all the setup. So in terms of extraction, so the automating of source from one place to another, and the rest all falls into place. And when you add into another data source, it just becomes another funnel, let's say.
And do you have to have all of that well thought out through before you even start creating that data warehouse? Or can you just find lots of different things and just dump it in a place?
Well, it's good to prioritize the data sources you want to integrate. We typically found it's high level. 90% of your business question can actually be answered by 10% of your data. So if you go back to what we talked about, your business bottom line, where you're trying to get to. So you go from that, what is the most important to you, and integrate that most important source first. And then we can start doing the next, the second, third, fourth source doesn't matter. You just, you know, switch in on another tab, and that goes into your same reservoir. So it really getting the first one right, and then the rest can come in as the time is right.
Okay, so if we're taking another step back, what we're saying here is, okay, you've understood what you want to measure. So you go and find where that data that gives you that measurement comes from, go and plug that into system, and then go and find out all the other different bits of data that you have will influence those measures that you want to kind of analyze, right? And so once you've done that, so you also mentioned a model. So I guess one of the things of people who are not necessarily technical, what do you mean by a model?
So a data model, think of it as a organized piece of information. So, you know, when we talk about users, for example, there are different touch points, right? So you have acquisition. So then that relates to data from your marketing. So how much you spend acquiring this user, which channel did they come from? So, you know, that's your first touch point. And once they register, there's, you know, the second touch point, which is within your app or your system. So, you know, there might be a registration flow to go through. And once they register, they do something within your business. So that could be buying something or subscribing to a service. And, you know, then you want to start tracking their retention, engagement, and all sorts of stuff. And then following, you might have a communication with them. You talked about emails, CRM systems, or that's, you know, for example, MailChimp or, you know, any other brands if you're on mobile. So those are your other data points. So yeah, so it's an organized piece of information. You have all these touch points. What you want to do is merge them together. So we talked about different touch points, marketing, your own database, on the user journey, and then you have CRM systems. The data model is merging everything together. So a user will be identified by a user ID, right? And a user ID then will merge all these touch points. So, you know, you have a data model could be a user model. So, you know, the user model will contain all the information about a user. Say, for example, myself, say Candace, I joined the app, you know, I downloaded the app today. So at 0 hour, 1st of January, I downloaded the app. So there's a timestamp you know about me. So that's your first touch point. And then my second touch point will be registering. 5 hours later, I've completed a registration flow. If it's a fintech, you know, there's some kind of, you know, KYC, you know, validations, and then that another timestamp. And then, you know, once I move forward, you know, I start depositing some money, I start trading, and all that timestamp, you know, you have that information is modeled together. So you don't have to join 20 different tables together to identify my user journey. So that's what we meant by the data model. Information aggregated together to make business sense.
Okay. So then as a business owner, what I've done is I've essentially identified the key measurements that I want to have. I've identified the data, which systems will give me the data that I need to make those measurements. And then when I bring them into a data warehouse, what I'm doing is I'm saying, okay, I know these measurements. Let's say profitability, right? Profitability is cost, it's revenue, and with costs, you'll break that down into various different things, and revenue might break that down into various different things. But that model essentially is saying that I need to create a framework of what revenue looks like, a framework of what cost looks like, and then I'm going to fill the data into those frameworks. And then from that, I'm going to get a picture of, I can run reports on top of that will allow me to understand, you know, how profitable I am, where I'm getting the most revenue from, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Okay. So one of the things that I see a lot, and I guess a lot of business owners who have been around for a while will see and say, is that, well, I don't have some of this data, or I've been around for 25 years and I've only got data for the last 5 years, or I'm not quite sure, someone changed the system halfway through 10 years ago and the data looks very different now. How do you deal with that?
So there's a few questions there. So if you don't have the data, there's not much we can do about it. So if it's 20 years ago, there's no, you know, digitization, you have no tracking on that. That's unfortunate. As soon as you have data, switching data sources is actually not that big of a problem. So, you know, if we go back to, we do a lot of like switching projects on people switching data sources or even databases. What you want to do that is go back to your data dictionary. So if you have a definition of what revenue means. So say if your revenue is, you know, gross sales, plus shipping minus discount, then, you know, that is always the case. And then what we need to do is go back and say, okay, say you're migrating from Shopify to, or maybe the other way around, from WooCommerce to Shopify, for example. What we will do is say you are switching 1st of January. So we'll map anything up to 1st of January from the source in WooCommerce. So what we'll do, we'll go into WooCommerce API, look at the table that, you know, indicates gross sales, shipping and discount, and then map that into your revenue. And from January forward, we'll look into Shopify, the equivalent data there. So as an end user, it doesn't make any difference. For you, everything's transparent. Everything is clean. It's just a different source that's coming through. But data, the business inside remain consistent.
Okay, so I think one of the key issues that people will have is that we've talked a lot about data and how we can bring it in, shape it, report on it. But a lot of startups will, or even SMEs will have the problem of, I don't know what data to capture. I don't know if I'm capturing the right data. And a lot of the times people will not keep on top of changes within their system in order to know that, okay, I'm going to add in a new status, and I need to capture that when that status changes, right? So once I've registered and I've been approved, I should capture that approval date, right? As well as that registration date. And unless you've been there, done that, and know that these are things that you should capture straight away, how do I, as a pure newbie to this whole thing, figure out what I should capture, and or should I just capture every single thing that I think is useful? Is there such a thing as capturing too much data?
Yes, especially at the beginning of the journey, because resources is really scarce, especially engineering resources. So you don't want to burden them by tracking things that you don't immediately need. Having said that, you know, if you grow into the size of Bumble, then you want to track everything under the sun, because data will help you, you know, build that really robust machine learning model. So there's a fine balance. But at the beginning, what I would suggest is follow your user journey. So what makes sense for you at the time? So the user journey, that's your conversion. So moving user from, you know, someone who barely know you to someone who becomes a really sticky and loyal user. So if you map that journey out, it becomes really easy what's important data to track. And most often than not, lots of this data are actually already tracked by third-party tools. So, you know, if you think about an app again, a user journey will be, you know, first they saw some, you know, advertising campaign perhaps. So they click on, let's say, a Facebook ad, and then they download the app. So, you know, first you have the acquisition side of things, you have Facebook data. So Facebook data will tell you how much you're spending. And, you know, then you have potentially an attribution tool, so Ajax or AppsFlyer. So all those data, they have it there for you. You just need to connect to them, pull that into your system. And once they landed into your app, so that becomes, the tracking becomes your responsibility. So there you want to start thinking about what you are optimizing towards at the moment. So, you know, going back to, you know, an app, you know, what you want them to progress along the journey. So that could be registering first and then making a meaningful action. So if it's a dating app, you want them to make a swipe. And as soon as they make a swipe, you want them to match with someone. And as soon as they match with someone, you want them to chat with them. And then hopefully they meet with them, you know, at some point. So this is your user journey. At each point, think about what are the data you need to be tracking there? What makes sense? What are you trying to optimize towards?
Okay, I've got a couple more questions. Can you be fooled by data? So should you always rely on everything? Is it a situation that, well, you know, I've got all this data, the data's right. If it's not in the data, therefore, something, you know, the data's always right, and, you know, someone's opinion might be wrong because it doesn't reflect what's in the data?
So how you interrogate data. So data is, you know, it's non-subjective, right? It's not right or wrong. How we interpret it can be wrong. So it's not data's fault. I would say it's always a user error if you are fooled by data, unfortunately. So go back to, I think one of the questions is, should you follow your gut feelings or should you follow what data, or if data is against your gut feeling, what do you do? One of the things data is very efficient at is if you have ideas, like, you know, especially at the early stages, there is no data. Potentially, you don't know whether something will work, but data is really helpful. If you have 10 different ideas or, you know, more, I think founders and product team, they usually have way too many ideas they can implement. And this is where data come in. Do an MVP, you know, the minimum effort required to implement your idea, release that and let data tell you if it works or not. If it does, you get the data signal saying that, okay, this is something the market wants, then invest your time. So that could reduce your 100 ideas into probably the top 5. And you know, with a degree of certainty, this 5 feature will bring you return.
Well, my final question for you is, this all sounds very expensive, very time consuming. It's, you know, I can't afford this because, you know, data scientists cost £100,000 plus a year. You know, how do I really go about this as a founder and small business owner? How can I put this in place without breaking the bank?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing to what you said, don't go for a data scientist immediately, because what you found, if you don't have the right infrastructure in place, clean data, your very skilled data scientist will spend more than half of their time doing groundwork, getting data in the right shape. So think about data scientists when you are ready, when your data infrastructure is ready. So that would, you know, already save you $100K a year. And, you know, come back to your questions, how expensive it is to get started. It is, you know, the first part is always a difficult bit. And you do need a range of skills. And the skill set typically are, you know, an analyst that is very business orientated, that can help you define your business goals, translate that into, you know, what data model, what, you know, SQL queries needed. And then you need like a data engineer to help you pipe the data, set up an infrastructure, and, you know, a data engineer. And you need someone quite senior. You need someone with the knowledge and experience so you can set up for a long-term success. So at the beginning, you do need, you know, at least 2 to 3 people team. But the unfortunate case is you don't need 100% of everyone because, you know, your use case hasn't been quite full yet. But once you have this infrastructure in place, it becomes a lot easier because you're just building on top of that. So you're adding things effectively based on what has already been built. So one of the solutions we come up with is a 10-week launcher project. So we can get you started quickly and we dip into a proportion of each resources you need. And so to make that really cost effectively for early stages. And once you have that really robust and efficient infrastructure, then we can hand it over to, you know, an internal person to maintain and grow it forward.
So typically, what kind of size of business do you work with?
So it varies. So we have, you know, companies that are in MVP stage, but, you know, the founders, typically second round founders, want to make sure the data is there from the very beginning because they've done it before. They know the pain of not doing it right from the beginning. But, you know, it's a wide range of companies, but typically, you know, people, you know, in, I would say with at least 50,000 users or a million run rate, that is at a point they've collected reasonable amount of data and they're really feeling the data pain and they really need something to get started. So that is probably the majority of our clients.
And so on this 10-week I guess deep dive, that's what it is. What would the business need to provide? What do you bring to the table? How do you work in that during that 10-week period?
Yeah. So what we do in that 10-week, we will start with a tool stack evaluation. So what we require from the business is the use cases, you know, the typical, what data sources they have, you know, what they're looking to integrate first, and the business understanding, the domain knowledge. And then from there on, we will recommend the most cost effective and scalable, tool stack for them. We're tool agnostic, so we recommend whatever is the best for the company. And then following that, we'll do a data dictionary together. So we talked about that before. So together we'll talk about the business goal, so which will be provided by the business. And then we will give feedback. We'll start building this document, and which will be a living document going forward as business grow, as data capacity grow. So following the data dictionary, we will build the data model. So we'll start connecting the data sources, centralizing it in the data warehouse, and we'll build the data model based on the data dictionary. And following all that, we'll connect a BI tool. So that's a self-servicing visualization tool. So that could be a range of open source or paid options. Again, you know, we'll discuss together, try to recommend the most cost-effective and future-proof option, and then we'll build you your what we like to call a master dashboard. So a master dashboard is typically, you know, a report that's interactive. You can slice and dice, but it tells you, especially the senior management, so the founders, the head of all the teams. You know, you take 5 minutes every day. You come in, look at the report, and you know what you need to. You know, your attention need to be focused on, you know, what area of business is scaling, you know, anything that, you know, growing really fast that you need to put more effort in, or something that's dropping and you need to fix basically. So that's what we do in a 10 weeks. Very little requirement from the business, actually. We take, you know, we do most of the heavy lifting.
And do you work with companies over a longer period as the strategy changes perhaps?
Yeah, absolutely. So this 10 weeks is really designed for people, companies in the early stages to get them set up for success long term. So for companies with more, you know, a lot of different data sources, very complex data requirements, we absolutely do. So we will start integrating more data sources, for example, and we start building machine learning algorithms. So some of the really popular ones typically is LTV prediction. So, you know, at the earliest possible time interval, predict how much a customer is going to be worth to you. And that's really powerful. You can then send that back to, for example, your Facebook campaign as an early signal to say, okay, this campaign is doing really well. It's bringing me, not just customers, bringing me high value customers, scale it. Vice versa, if they're bringing a lot of customers, they are, you know, let's forgive me for saying like freeloaders, they're just here for a free trial, then you want to turn that off, even though, you know, on Facebook is saying, yes, massive conversion, but no, you don't want a campaign like that. So LTV prediction, typically really popular. Churn prediction is another one. So if you have like a subscription model, you want to, before they leave you, you want to get an indication that they potentially might be leaving you, and you want to then start treating them, giving them, you know, special attention so they don't. And that project can be layered with a dynamic user segmentation. So lots of companies look at their customers, they slice and dice in different ways, for example, country, city, gender, for example. But more interestingly, you should be looking at user behavior and clustering them based on that. So that could be, you know, customers who, you know, buys monthly, for example, a very naive example, or people buy your product because they like your eco-friendly USP. So once you know that, you can label your user. We'll go back to the data model we talk about, your customer model. So you can now start labeling me, say Candace. She registered 1st of January. She done all these things. She bought all these things. And we know behavioral-wise, she is very eco-conscious. And then that is really powerful when you start tailoring the CRM to me, then you can talk to me in a way that you highlight the eco-friendliness of your product.
I think what's interesting there is you've, in those three examples, you've highlighted the depth of where you can go with just a simple set of data. And I think you've also picked out one of the key things that we touched on a little bit was vanity metrics. And there's a lot of that where what we mean by that is by saying, yes, I've got a great conversion rate, but if those conversion rates bring you a very poor quality of customer, then that's not great. Okay. So my last question is, how do people find you? If people have liked what they've heard, how do they get in touch?
Ah, absolutely. Yeah, love to chat. So, you know, ping me on LinkedIn, email address 173tech.com. Come, you know, visit us. hello@173.com is our email address. Or, you know, find me, you know, social medias or via yourself. Yeah, very happy to chat anytime.
Well, thank you, Candace. It's been very informative. And I think new startup founders, small businesses will really find this very, very interesting.
Oh, great. Great. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like what you hear, then please subscribe with the Atom Ventures podcast, and you can find us on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all the great podcasting sites. Please also leave a review, and if you want to get in contact, then please visit our site, atomcto.com. You can find us on LinkedIn under Atom Ventures and Atom CTO, and you can email us at info@atomcto.com.